chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Come on in for an evening of poems and stories about the American West. A land of legend, of romance, of friendship and courage. A motherlode of remembrance. A true showcase of the Old West with the old cowboy, J.C. Hulsey.
Howdy, folks. I'm the old cowboy. Come on in and take a load off. Grab a cup of joe, pull up a stump, and hunker down for some good old cowboy fun. We're going to have some great country music that I know you're going to enjoy. And I know you're going to enjoy our special guest today. But right now, I'm about to bust a gut. I just got to say something about the publishing business. This new technological world that we live in is great. That is, sometimes. The computer has made it so easy for somebody or anybody to publish a book or books. It's so easy that it's sometimes scary. The problem is, it's so easy that many, and I might go so far as to say the majority of folks, don't take the time to proofread. They don't take the time to edit or even create a flashy eye-catching cover. They just throw it up on Amazon and sit back waiting for the money to start rolling in. Then they get discouraged when that doesn't happen, and they don't write anymore. That makes me sad, because with just a little guidance, these folks might have had a best-selling book. Then there's these other folks that sign with some vanity press, spending a lot of money, because they want their work published so bad. The thing I see wrong with these two stories is folks didn't do their research. That's where this new technology comes in handy. You can find almost anything, if not everything, on the internet. The first scenario should have found a proofreader and an editor, then a cover designer. But that costs money, of which I don't have. I hear you. But think of it as an investment. If you invest in a product to make it better, then it's been a good investment. If you just throw any old thing out there, you're going to get bad reviews and folks won't buy your product. There's nothing worse for a new author trying to get their name out there than to get bad reviews. So it'd be prudent, in my estimation, to put the best product you can out there first. But all this costs money. Yeah, you said that already. Let me share something with you about how you can get your book published without it costing anything. That's right, not even a penny. Again, this is where this new technology comes in. Do a little research. There are publishers out there in cyberspace that want to publish your book without it costing you any money. Now let me save you doing some of that research. Go and check out Outlaws Publishing LLC. Outlaws is a company that has one goal in mind. And that goal is to help you, the author, whether you're already published or you want to be published, Outlaws is here to help you. Outlaws has the expertise to make your book a number one bestseller. Outlaws has the proofreaders, the editors, the cover designers, and the formatters to get your book published, again, without it costing you anything. And one of the most important things that Outlaws has is a publicist. So if you're floundering in the sea of sharks and you need a lifeline, all you got to do is call out, and Outlaws will rescue you. Send an email to info@outlawspublishing.com. Let us know that you have a story you want published. Again, that email, info@outlawspublishing.com. Now let's listen to Aaron Tippin singing, "She Made a Memory Out of Me."
Almost gone. Had a good woman and I went and did her wrong. Honey found out I was loving double time. She moved me from her heart to the back of her mind. She made a memory out of me. Just a vision of the past is all you see. Like a statue of stone, a part of me. That woman made a memory out of me. Lord, I'm so don't even make a shadow when I'm walking in the sun. Hide my face, hang my chin. Just another sad story about an old has-been. She made a memory out of me. It's the vision of the past. It's all you see. Like a statue of stone, a part of history. That woman made a memory out of me. Yeah, that woman made a memory out of me. Yes, the vision of the past is all you see. Like a statue of stone, a part of history. Yeah, that woman made a memory.
Jack Slade stood out even among the many rabble-rousers who inhabited the wild frontier mining town of Virginia City, Montana. When he was sober, townsfolks liked and respected him. There were unconfirmed rumors he had once been a thief and a murderer. When he was drunk, however, Slade had a habit of firing his guns in bars and making idle threats. Though his rowdiness didn't injure anybody, Virginia City leaders, anxious to create a more peaceable community, began to lose patience. They began giving more weight to the claims that he was a potentially dangerous man. The year before, many of Virginia City's leading citizens had formed a semi-secret vigilante committee. They was going to take care of a road agent named Harry Plummer. Plummer and his gang had robbed and killed all around the area. Determined to reassert order, the Virginia City vigilantes began capturing and hanging the men in Plummer's gang. As a warning to other criminals, the vigilantes left a scrap of paper on the hanged corpse with cryptic numbers, 3-7-77. The meaning of the number is unclear, though some claim it referred to the dimensions of a grave, 3 feet wide, 7 feet long, and 77 inches deep. In the first 2 months of 1864, the Montana vigilantes hanged 24 men, including Plummer. Most historians agree that these hangings, while technically illegal, they punished only genuinely guilty men. However, the vigilantes' decision to hang Jack Slade seemed less justified. They were finally fed up with his drunken rampages and wild threats. On March the 10th, 1864, a group of vigilantes took Slade into custody and told him he was going to be hanged. Slade, who had committed no serious crime in Virginia City, pleaded for his life, or at least a chance to say goodbye to his beloved wife. Before Slade's wife arrived, the vigilantes had hanged him. Not long after the questionable execution of Slade, legitimate courts and prisons began to function in Virginia City. Though sporadic vigilante justice continued until 1867, it increasingly attracted public concern. In March 1867, miners in one Montana mining district posted a notice in the local newspaper that they would hang 5 vigilantes for every 1 man hanged by vigilantes. Therefore, vigilante justice faded away. Here's Kim Carson's Could Never Do Nothing Right.
Nothing. trying hard to make a living, to make our good life dreams come true. But you wanted more than I was giving. You wanted more than I could do.
Let's visit with a guest right now.
We've got a special guest with us today. We've got media expert Denise M. Dorman. Welcome to the Wild West Showdown, Ms. Dorman.
Thank you, JC. I appreciate your time.
According to your bio, you've held some pretty impressive jobs. Can you tell us what you did before you started your own company?
Sure. I started out in television. I was a writer-producer for a nationally syndicated motorsports series called The Superchargers, which starred Jan Gabriel, who is my mentor, and I learned everything about video and TV production from him. And from there, I went into advertising copywriting for major brands like Motorola and magicians like Lance Burton and Siegfried and Roy and Motorola, Sears. You name it. If it was a big brand, we were working on it. And then from there, I went into video production. And so I did video production pretty much full time. And then I got more into PR. And then in probably about 2000, just by happenstance, I was in a Yahoo group with a bunch of publicists. I don't even know how I ended up there, but I did. And I befriended some people and ended up getting work. And then that was when I got trained by what I consider to be the very best book publicist, Stephen Crane of Crane Creek Communications. So he taught me the inner workings of being a book publicist, and then I started focusing on that.
Sounds to me like you started off at the top. What did you do before you did these impressive jobs?
Oh, well, my first job out of college was that TV show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Goodness.
So that was, I mean, I did some newspaper writing when I was in college. So I have a journalism degree, and I definitely lean towards writing. Writing is probably my best skill set.
What made you decide to stop punching the clock and start your own company?
Oh, what's the right way to answer this question without getting into
trouble? I feel like there's really no easy way to answer it because it's tough walking away from a paycheck and taking a gamble on something, isn't it?
It is. You really have to believe in yourself. And I won't deny that there haven't been some challenging times, but I really like being my own boss. I really enjoy choosing my client. I get passionate about my clients. Somebody once said this, and I agree with this philosophy. You have to fall a little bit in love with every one of your clients to do a good job for them. And I do. And I don't mean that in a romantic way, but it's that I believe in their mission and I believe in what they're trying to achieve. And I want to help them get the word out. And so that's why I really like what I do. You know, there's a freedom to working from home, and I'm what you call a sandwich generation, where I'm dealing with an aging parent and I'm dealing with a child in school. And so it gives me the freedom to take breaks in my schedule during the day for doctor's appointments and orthodontist appointments and all of those things. So it's definitely a lifestyle choice.
So your husband is part of your company or is
he's separate. He's a very famous comic book artist. He's a cover artist. And so he exhibits and sells his art. And so I help him with that.
How long has your company existed?
Unofficially since 1990, but more officially since 1995. That's when I really went off on my own.
Been at it quite a while then.
Yes. Yes, I have.
Okay. I understand your company's won a few awards. You want to tell us a little bit about them?
Oh, sure. Let's see. I've won Houston Film Festival, which is now called WorldFest, awards, not only for the Superchargers, which I worked on, but then also for videos that I've done, corporate videos. And then I've won Addy Awards for my creative in the advertising field, in print advertising. And then I've also won a Gold Quilt Award for a project that I did for a company called Consorta, which was a hospital buying company. Did get a Gold Quilt Award for that, which in the PR world is kind of like the Oscars.
You've got a unique name for your company. Tell us what the name is and how you came to choose it.
Rightbrain Media, which is spelled W-R-I-T-E. It wouldn't be obvious to somebody just hearing me say that. Right Brain Media is really based on the fact that I'm left-handed and I'm very right-brained. And when you do the tests online, and I've done them many times, I'm probably more right-brained than most people. I'm very left-handed, and right-brained people tend to be creative, and I'm definitely that. So I thought it was kind of a fun play on words, and I went with it.
You mentioned a whole bunch of things that you're involved in. What type of people, what category do the people you help fall into, or do you just help everybody?
Oh my gosh, I do like to help startup businesses. I like to help authors. I like to help, one of the projects that I did, and this wouldn't be a startup, this was a major company, but I was the agency of record for First Penn Pacific Life Insurance Company. So I was an outside agency, I was a solopreneur, and I was doing all of the creative, writing everything from ghostwriting their magazine articles for the brokers and different trade publications, to doing all of their print advertising, to writing the manuals for the customers, the sell sheets, the marketing materials, you name it, I did it. And our ads that I did with them actually outscored the ads for Lincoln Financial Group, who owned First Penn, and then Lincoln Financial Group actually ended up absorbing the company that they owned that was sort of competing against them in all of the trade publications. So it ended up to be a sad day when they closed up shop, because I really enjoyed that work. And that was a major company, but I had a lot of fun with it. And they were willing to take a risk with me and do some things that no one else was really doing in the industry, like all black and white with spot color imagery, stuff like that, that I thought was a lot of fun.
You say you ghostwrite. Okay, explain to us why somebody would want you to write a story and then they put their name on it as the author. Sounds like a little bit of cheating to me.
You know, it's amazing how many people do that. I mean, just think about all of the CEOs that mm-hmm. have books out there and great stories and really interesting experience, but they really don't have the skill set to write. They're just not good at it, and they need a little help, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Do they give you an outline of what they want you to write? So it's not you're not completely taking over their story then?
No. Okay. And you definitely want to listen for their voice and make sure that you're including their voice in everything that they're saying. I mean, what you do is you actually interview people for hours and hours. There are certain tells and things that you say that I would probably be working into any copy that I was writing that was done in your voice. And that's what you do for anyone that you ghostwrite for. You just want to make sure that it really sounds like them speaking, even though you're the one doing the writing.
Your Right Brain Media is an award-winning, and you've mentioned a woman-owned, full-service, integrated marketing communication firm.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm listening to everything you're telling me that you do, including going to doctor appointments, taking the kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any time for sleeping?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've kind of made it my mission that this year I want to get up at 4 or 4:30 in the morning. I've been successful at this yet, but this is in my mind that this is what I'm working towards. Every morning I'm getting up 15 minutes earlier so that I get to the point where I'm up at 4, 4:30 every morning and I can really tackle things without the phones ringing and the email bothering me and disrupting me. So that's the goal, to get a couple of hours of really uninterrupted work in before my true day starts.
Does anybody accuse you of trying to do too much?
Yeah. That happens.
But you're enjoying it, aren't you?
I am. It's a lot of fun. I have a lot of energy, which is good. You need it for this industry in particular.
I can hear that in your voice, that you
Thank
enjoy
you.
It.
Thank you.
Let me be a little bit mean here to you.
Sure.
You tooted your own horn pretty loud, but you followed it up saying that you toot your client's horn just as loud.
I do.
that's very important for somebody in your line of work to care that much about their client, isn't it?
It is. You have to really put your heart and soul into every client. And if you don't, then you're not going to bring your A game and you're not going to do a good job for them.
What are your guidelines on accepting a client?
They have to have money. They have to pay me on the first of the month.
Oh, so I guess I'm not going to argue.
You can understand that. We all have to eat. And they have to be interesting, and they have to respect what I want them to do.
How long does it usually take for one of your clients to realize a profit in their investment?
It's all in how you define profit.
Let's take an author, for instance. If you took on an author as a client, could you give us an example how long it might take for him to realize something?
Oh, that's so tough. Let me give you an example without giving away the name of the author.
Sure.
And this wasn't me. This was actually a friend of mine that was doing book PR. A friend of mine did some book PR for a very famous athlete. And this athlete was a household name in probably the 1980s. But this athlete then went on to have a big career in medicine and put out a book. And so my publicist friend, my book publicist friend, got this particular author on a lot of morning shows in New York, in every major press publication, and it didn't move the needle on the book sales. There just wasn't a demand. So did he maybe not go after hyper-targeting the right audience? Well, this was before Facebook hyper-targeting was really a thing, but even that being said, the fact that he had that much exposure and still couldn't really sell any books, the publishing industry is a risk.
You would assume that somebody like that would be an automatic seller, though, you know? I mean, at least I would.
You would.
Okay, yeah. I know that you feel that what you do is very, very important, or you wouldn't be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me why I should hire you to be my media expert. I write Western books. I have a publishing company. I have a radio show. Why should I hire you?
I wouldn't tell you to hire me until I had actually read some of your books.
Let's say you have read one of my books.
Assuming that I have read one of your books, and then I would want to be your brand evangelist, and I would want to get the word out that this is an author you have to read. If you love Westerns, this is the author you should be reading.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Without giving away any trade secrets, could you tell us a little bit what you might do?
Oh, sure. One of the first things that I do is I create what's called an electronic press kit for my clients. And so the press kit includes their bio and a one sheet or a sell sheet on their business and a list of subject matter expert topics in which they could speak intelligently in case a journalist is putting out a query and wants to know exactly what their areas of expertise are. I would be looking at book clubs that specialize in reading Westerns to promote you to those book clubs. I would be looking at helpareporterout.com, which posts journalist queries 3 times a day to see if there's anything that I could plug you into that's relevant to the characters you write about or the storylines you write about. I mean, even though you write Westerns, do you write Westerns where maybe it follows somebody in the medical field? Or do you write Westerns where it follows a police detective? And so you have special knowledge of detective work. So there are all sorts of different ways you can skin this cat, so to speak, to get you out there.
Very interesting. How long did it take you to become this knowledgeable with what you're doing? You didn't just learn this overnight.
Oh, no, this is not my first rodeo to talk in Texas speak.
Okay.
No, you know, I never stop learning. I mean, my gosh, with social media, stuff is happening all the time and evolving all the time. And we're really in the covered wagon days of social media. So much more is going to happen. So there's always stuff happening in transition. There's always new social media platforms that are being born. I have to know what I'm doing or I can't help my clients.
Exactly. Okay, of all the social media sites, is any one of them better than the other?
For authors, Goodreads is a very good site to be on.
Okay.
It's really important. You should also have an author page on Amazon. That's, of course, mission critical. And then Facebook. You need to have a fan page on Facebook, absolutely.
Now, if you had to choose between everything that you do, could you choose one avenue that you like better than the others?
I always said that my perfect job would be to write for Mystery Science Theater 3000, which is a parody TV show. That's why I love advertising so much. So anything creative, anything where I have to come up with creative ideas, I enjoy. And whether that's a campaign, whether that's a press release with an interesting spin to it, I just like to be able to use my creative muscle and come up with something interesting that someone hasn't seen before.
If somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how's the easiest way to do that?
Oh, probably email. My email is denise@rightbrainmedia.com, which is D-E-N-I-S-E and then ampersand, W-R-I-T-E-B-R-A-I-N-M-E-D-I-A.com.
Okay.
So that's probably the easiest way. I'm also on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm what's called a LinkedIn open networker, so I accept all requests on LinkedIn to connect with me, and I'm happy to do that.
Do you have any time to watch television?
I do, and I love television. And one of my favorite shows is from a Texan, Joe Lansdale. He has the Happ and Leonard series, which I absolutely love.
We've enjoyed having you visit with us on the Wild West Showdown, and I want to give you a personal invitation to come back and visit anytime.
Oh, thank you so much.
How about listening to Chad Prather's thought for the day?
Ladies, I got a little proposition for you, and I'm going to say it as delicately as I know how. Y'all need to let men rule the world. Now, I know you want us to take more responsibility for things in life, but you're wanting us to do it from the woman's perspective of thinking. Our brains aren't made like that. We can't function in that capacity, and we're simply incapable. We've got to do it our way. Now, before you object, let me tell you, there's a long list of positives for you that can come out of this. For instance, there's no more doing of the dishes. In fact, we don't have dishes. We have paper plates. We eat off of them, and we throw them away. If by some stretch of the imagination, a plate winds up in the sink, we allow fungus to form on it until it splits into a multi-cell organism, grows legs, and walks away on its own. It takes a little time, but the problem is solved. You know what else? There's no more laundry. We wear the clothes until the clothes wear out. Then we go buy more clothes, shopping for days. See, we're having fun already. Now, if you object and say you can't afford that, woman, I've already saved you money on laundry detergent and dish soap. You know where else you can save money? Stop wearing a bra. You don't have to keep going into these expensive underwear stores and buying stuff like that. It's unnecessary. It's uncomfortable for you, unsightly for us. In fact, I suggest that you just spend the rest of your life in a V-neck white t-shirt, braless, running around in the rain. It'll be a happier place. And if you think you're going in there buying this stuff so you can be sexy for your man, stop believing that lie and stop telling it because you're buying it for yourself. There's nothing about that little string of cotton wrapped around your waist that we men find sexy. We don't care that much about it. You know what we find sexy? You. My wife says, do you like the yellow? Do you like the green? Do you like the red? Do you like the paisley? Do you like the stripes? Do you like the polka dots? You know what kind of underwear I like on my wife? Off. Simple as that. You know what's sexy? Flannel pajamas, and you can buy them cheap at the Blue Logo store. I'm making your life simple. Hey, sit around the house in your flannel pajamas. If you got an itch, dig right in and scratch it. That's what we do, and it's worked for us for centuries. The only problem that I have not figured out a way to solve is the makeup issue. You got to spend money on that because y'all can't stop wearing the makeup. Hey, look, listen, just a few things for thought, all right? I love y'all. You're beautiful. Have a good day. God bless.
Let's listen now to Molly Kate Kestner, Mom's Song.
You held me in your arms and promised to never let me go. You kept that little promise that you made 18 years ago. You watched me as I learned to crawl, tried to stand and took my first fall. Never left my side, you held me through it all. You held my hand when I was scared. You always knew what to say. You showed me love. Today, and everyone who meets you wants to know more about you, and everyone who knows your beautiful soul, and everyone who sees your selfless love and mercy, and everyone who hears you. Here's your heart. Well, you're sensational, inspirational, but more importantly, you're my mom. Who knows where I would be without your love and sympathy? days when I was low as could be. You were always right next to me. And I know that I get selfish and forget to say I love you. And I know that sometimes I think I know it all. But you still hold my hand when I get scared. And you always know what to say. You show me love by how you care. And I hope I'll turn out like you someday. 'Cause everyone who meets you wants to know more about you. And everyone who knows you knows your beautiful soul. And everyone who sees you sees your selfless love and mercy. And everyone who hears you hears your heart. You're sensational, inspirational, but more importantly, you're my man. I will always love you, but sometimes you need to know it more than I show it.
I think it's about time for some good old cowboy wisdom. Life ain't about how fast you run. It ain't even about how high you can climb. Life's all about how well you bounce. Tune in next week for another episode of the Wild West Showdown. This is the old cowboy saying adios and happy trails.
Come on back next week to the Wild West Showdown with the old cowboy J.C. Holsey.